Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Melia Sims. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce your name correctly there?
You did, perfect.
Oh, that's good. I should have asked before we went on the air, but that after is better than nothing, I guess. So you've written a book called The Secret Lives of Teeth, and has this just been produced?
Yes, I published it at the end of May.
Right. So listeners might have heard Melia's interviewed by Jason in the Your Health, Your Choice show that he does. It's Wednesday afternoons at the moment. And I did hear just a little bit of that, and I didn't realise that you at that time you were still researching the book.
Yeah,
or still writing the book.
I hadn't even started writing the book
at that point. Yeah. So. But you had already done a lot of the research that was going to come into it.
Yes,
at that point.
So yeah. I've been a natural oral health coach, the Holistic Tooth Fairy, since 2017. And I've been researching and learning about alternatives to mainstream oral health for 5 or 6 years earlier than that. So I've got a long background before I felt like overwhelmed with the need to start writing this book.
Yeah. So did you see that there wasn't anything out there quite like what you've done? Was that the motivation?
That really was the motivation. There wasn't. I'd been looking for a book like this for years, and there just wasn't anything, certainly not in the English language. And people were coming to my website from all over the world looking for this specific subject. People do Google searches on what's the spiritual meaning of gum recession or what's the emotional meaning of tooth decay.
Yeah.
And that's how they find me. So I knew that was like my niche to fill.
And I think there's a lot of frustration out there that people are like, no matter what I do, I follow all the advice from the dentist, and what I do, I just keep getting holes in my teeth and keep needing fillings. And I think that a lot of people are motivated to do that search with the internet available to us as it is. It's possible to do that. And people find, obviously, we're talking off the air about Weston Price, who is kind of in the background for everyone doing what you're doing. Not that there's many people doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess you could call him the father of alternative health. He was an American dentist working at around the 1930s, and he actually travelled all over the world, including to New Zealand, studying indigenous people who were eating traditional diets and living traditional lifestyles, and he noticed that they didn't have tooth decay, they didn't need root canals, they had really strong, healthy teeth and jaws. And being a curious man, he, developed a theory of why that was and a whole kind of nutritional protocol that was mostly rejected by mainstream dentistry.
Even though he was a mainstream dentist himself at the
time. He was a mainstream dentist, but it was a time of sort of great changes in the theory and practice of the dental profession, and he kind of was, it's a whole complicated story, that is the subject of my next book, but he was kind of outside of the mainstream and on both of those ends of that transformation. Anyway, it didn't really become fashionable until probably the 80s or 90s to kind of look at what's called now the Weston A. Price diet. And then a writer called Ramiel Nagel wrote a book called Cure Tooth Decay, which is the book I discovered when I was on the cusp of what would have been my seventh root canal, having been such a compliant mainstream dental advice person. I went to the dentist really regularly. I brushed and flossed like a boss. I ate really well, and yet I just had the worst teeth in the world. And finally, and this was about 12 or 13 years ago, I thought there must be some other information than what my dentist has given me, because what they're telling me isn't working. And that's when I found Ramiel Nagel's book, Cure Tooth Decay, which is a modern interpretation of the Weston A. Price protocol.
And it
literally changed my life. I did not need that seventh root canal. I stopped needing fillings. My oral health became so much better very, very quickly. And that just inspired me to start researching and learning everything I could about alternative approaches to oral health.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I've read some or most of Ramiel Nagel's book, but I think what you've included in yours is like the emotional spiritual aspect of it, which I can't remember him getting into too much, did he?
He didn't at all.
Yeah, so yeah, so all. So that, and I guess that's a huge part of why you wanted to do this. So on that basis, like what's the story with that? Yeah, what's the story? Just give us the whole thing.
So our teeth, yes, they are affected by nutrition and they are affected by our oral hygiene habits, but they're also affected by our emotions and our energy, if you like, and that mainly happens through the mechanism of the hormones that are flooded through our system by our nervous system releasing, like cortisol, for example, the stress hormone,
yep.
Cortisol, inhibits the flow of blood and other fluids and nutrients into teeth and gums, because cortisol like shuts down all systems that it considers not necessary in a crisis survival emergency situation.
Yeah, fight or flight moment.
Yeah. So you don't really need to worry about your teeth if you're like fighting off the tiger or whatever.
Yeah.
So our teeth kind of shut down their natural remineralization processes. Our digestive system becomes a lot less effective at processing the particular nutrients that support teeth to remineralize, and focuses instead on things like sugars, which will help us with our flight activities. But, you know, that acidifies your blood and your saliva, and so that is a problem for teeth. So there's this mechanisms by which the emotions do affect the health of teeth and gums. And, of course, in these days, as we all know, you're kind of in this constant state of high alert. The stress levels that we have are not just around these immediate crisis situations. It's like this steady, you know, there's climate change, there's a pandemic, there's, you know.
Well, you work in an office where it's stressful, but you don't run and, like, burn off the cortisol.
That's
burn
right.
off is not the most, it's just my term, it's not a scientific
release.
Term.
Yeah.
I think the things that surprised me and probably surprised you, first of all, was that there are indigenous cultures where tooth decay was pretty much non-existent, like I think 1 in 1,000 teeth or something like that. But also that the tooth has a system for getting minerals back up and rebuilding itself. And I've seen photographs, like close-up photographs of teeth, and you can see tiny little tubes in them. All this, and and did you have the reaction, like, why don't I know this? Like,
I really did. And that's why I've called my book The Secret Lives of Teeth, because I really, before I got into all of this, if I thought about teeth very much at all, it was to imagine them as, like, dead tissue, like your fingernails or your hair.
Yeah.
And that they're not active living parts of the organism that is my body. It's so wrong. Those little tubules that make up the substance of enamel, which is the top layer of the teeth, and the dentin and the pulp on the inside, they're like flowing with blood and nutrients. They're delivering the minerals to the enamel that come from the food that you've eaten. There's this whole system that drives it's called dentinal flow into your teeth, and when that shuts down because of things like stress and other difficult emotions, then your teeth, those tubules become like sponges and they become absorbent. Instead of pushing minerals out to create that nice hard enamel surface, the enamel surface sucks in bacteria and sugars and other things that break down the teeth.
Yeah, we should just pause now to let that sink in for everybody. This is... Yeah, like you say, the tooth was kind of a dead thing, and certainly that we were completely vulnerable to whatever we put in our mouth was the thing that was going to affect it. And the idea that sugar, as soon as you put sugar on your teeth, it's immediately trying to eat your teeth up. And this is my interpretation of what I've heard throughout my life. Like, it's not really how sugar does it, though, is it?
No, it's not.
Because if you put sugar on other things, it doesn't eat them up.
No, that's right.
And it's not actually a corrosive. It's not a corrosive thing at all, from what I understand.
Well, it's how sugar feeds the bacteria that can.
Okay, so that's the actual more accurate story.
Yeah, that's the entry point. But also, what sugar does, if you have a lot of sugar, it raises your blood sugar level, and that switches off the particular hormones that drive the dentinal flow. So then you're in a situation where you may have sugar in your mouth feeding unhelpful bacteria, but your body has stopped its natural process of resilience, and so it's not able to reject those bacteria, but it's sucking them in with your diet of sugar inside the teeth.
So the sugar can do it, and stress with cortisol in your body can also do it.
Yeah.
And something, I don't know if you will have talked about this, but something I did with my own diet years ago is I was read about the effects of refined food on health, and for me, my personal experience was not to do with teeth, but I pretty much stopped getting colds after I did this. And it's not just sugar, right? Flour is just the same as sugar in this regard, and even things like chips, which are so refined.
Yeah.
And I must have been, I think I was sick of getting colds at this stage, like my mid-30s. And I also noticed that, like, if you listen to my interviews from 20 years ago, I sound more nasal. So, and the reason behind that was that the body, when it gets all of this refined food, it doesn't have any minerals and nutrients with it to process it. So your body has to go into reverse to suck the minerals and nutrients out of your bones and, I presume, your teeth.
Definitely your teeth.
Yeah. Mm. So this was something I did for my body and my health, and it worked really well. But I'd always wondered if basically putting the body in reverse was also not good for the teeth. So
And you'll see it really obviously a lot of times when someone gets pregnant and they're having to there's a lot more demand on the nutrients to build a whole other human being inside your body. And if you're not getting enough from your diet because your diet is heavy in processed food or just not the right kind of nutrients, then your system will draw down on the storehouse of minerals in your teeth and your jawbone and to grow the baby. And that's why it's really common for pregnant and new mothers to have suddenly flare up with teeth problems and receding gums that they maybe haven't had before or not to the same degree.
So do you have a diet you'd recommend for pregnant mums?
Well, it needs to be a little bit different for everyone, but Weston A. Price and Ramiel Nagel are not bad places to start.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So back to the emotional, spiritual stuff that you've got in your book, like you've actually like looked at each tooth and how it relates to certain things. Do you want to go into that in a little bit of detail?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to think about or to understand how emotions and energy affect the teeth, and probably the best known of those is the meridian system from traditional Chinese medicine, and each meridian system runs through the mouth and connects a certain part of the mouth to the organs, but it's also governed by a certain kind of pattern of emotions in that system. So that's one way of thinking about it. But another way is to look at each particular type of tooth or each individual tooth as having certain energetic or psychosocial associations. And the reason for that is because the developmental stage that you will get new teeth at is simultaneous with the development of certain parts of the brain.
Yeah.
So we'll be going through as children and young people will be going through certain kinds of intellectual transitions and social transitions in our brain brain structure and functioning, and simultaneously growing teeth that have a relationship to those same issues and qualities.
Can you give us like a concrete example of that?
Yeah, so the front teeth, which are the first teeth that grow in, you know, newborn babies, well, the six-month-old babies will start getting those central incisors, and then they're the first teeth to fall out and get replaced when you're about five or six.
Yeah.
Those teeth, right through your whole life, will be a reflection and an embodiment of your very early experiences as an infant and a toddler, of your relationship with your parents, of your family upbringing, what you internalized about how to be a man or a woman or whatever your identity is on that gender spectrum, those will all kind of be qualities that are associated with those teeth, and those teeth are vulnerable to difficulties to do with that. The further back in your mouth you go, the more the teeth reflect later stages in your life. So we were talking about molars before we came on the air.
Yeah.
And those, I call those the adulting teeth, because they are very much about the sort of developmental challenges of being an adult, for establishing a career, establishing a home, marriage, being a parent, status and identity as an adult, the issues that will be really make those teeth vulnerable.
Yeah, because what we were talking about before we went on the air, folks, was that I, all through my teens, I didn't get any fillings. I didn't need any fillings from kind of 12, I think, onwards. But as soon as I left home that year, first year away from home, when I was 18, turning 19, I started to get holes in my teeth. And it's kind of been consistent ever since. But it was really remarkable, quite a clear line drawn there from moving away from home. And your first question to me was, which teeth was it, or which tooth specifically? And I couldn't remember which tooth, but I know it was a molar.
Yeah. And the reason I asked about which tooth specifically is because through my coaching work with clients, hundreds of clients from all over the world over the last 7 years, I've developed a framework of tooth archetypes. So each individual adult tooth, each of the 32 adult teeth, has its own kind of character or personality, an archetype or an avatar that helps to understand its emotional, energetic, ancestral, environmental influences. So if you know which tooth has got a cavity, has had a root canal, has got a, you know, receding gum or whatever, you can start to ask the right questions to understand what's the underlying emotional influence. Now, that doesn't mean there's not also the influence of your diet, your hygiene, and so on.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, you're vulnerable to your particular diet because of this underlying energetic issue.
So we talked about before the example of the front two teeth, which are the first ones that come out. So I'm just trying to understand what you're saying there, which is like maybe if there's some traumatic events in your life around them, and then later on in adult life something might happen that triggers those emotions to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all understand about that, I think. Well, we should do these days. So if that's happening anyway, then that can affect the tooth that was developing or emerging at that time.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complex than that, but that's not a bad summary.
What are the complexities?
It's not necessarily the moment that the tooth was coming through, but the developmental stage that those issues are sort of more prominent in your life as a young person. So your tooth comes through when you're 6 months old, but it might be issues, you know, the little brother or sister who's born when you're 18 months old, and then when you and your younger sibling are both in your 20s and your younger sibling, you know, has a major crisis and changes the whole family dynamic, then that might be a trigger for that front tooth.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so because the arrival of the next child changes the family dynamic drastically, I know from experience.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot. Okay. Mm. Okay, all right. It's interesting.
And it's also the development of language and how children learn to speak and learn to communicate who they are, their preferences, their needs, to articulate their relationships as they're changing from, you know, being a little child enmeshed in the home to going to school and having friends outside of your parent-supervised relationships. All of those experiences are kind of spoken as much as they are felt and lived, and that all happens through the mouth. And one of the little mnemonics that I've worked out to help people kind of start figuring out like what's gone wrong with my teeth and gums is look for where there have been silences, secrets, and suppressed emotions. Because if you've felt something really strongly and you haven't been able to express it verbally for whatever reason, then it's like that energy gets stuck in your mouth. It actually gets stuck in the teeth and the gums and held there. And the symptoms will develop later in life when that burden of holding on to those silences, secrets or suppressed emotions becomes too much for the teeth, or your psyche kind of realizes, okay, well, you've reached a point of stability and now it's time to deal with this old childhood stuff that you couldn't handle at the time. I'm going to give you a toothache to make you pay attention to it now.
Right. Talking about that makes me also think of just like clenching your jaw and stuff like that, and grinding your teeth, which people do. So that's all in the mix there with that.
Absolutely.
It's all part of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. It's really complex. It seems really complex. How much of the stuff that you've just developed yourself, and how much of it is particularly the emotional spiritual side of it, have you picked that up from other writers or researchers? Like, what's the story there?
Yeah, so I started out, like most people do, with looking into the meridian system, the tooth meridian system in traditional Chinese medicine. And then I discovered some dentists in Europe who had been doing a little bit of work in this area. Their work is not translated in English,
right.
So it was very hard to access. And it's taken me a long time to kind of make sense of and piece together.
You have to machine translate using Google or something. And we know that's never that great.
It's never that great. And then, you know, asking people I know who are able to speak it, you know, can you read this book and then talk it through with me?
And really pay close attention too. Like,
Yeah. So that's why it took a long time, and that's why I really wanted to write this book in English. So I summarise all these existing systems.
Yeah.
But then my own system of archetypes is like the... It's like the user-friendly version where I've fed in all of this, these other systems which are very esoteric and very, I mean, even if they were in English, I think they would be very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
And tried to make them into kind of characters in a story so that you can tell a story using the archetypes that you can then work with in your journaling and therapeutic conversation and meditation, but you've got a way to kind of access this information and have it make sense in terms of my lived experience, you know?
Mm. So there were some things like on your website that are real, like some quick things to look at, like delicious food that heal your teeth. This is what we want to know about, I believe. Yeah.
Most people really like butter.
Yeah.
And butter is really good for your teeth.
Yeah.
So
does it make a difference about where the cow lived, what it was eating, and what the state of the soil was?
It needs to be grass-fed butter, but we're very lucky here in New Zealand pretty much all our butter is grass-fed.
Yeah.
And we're incredibly lucky here in Raglan because we have Dreamview making raw milk, and that is not only delicious but really good for your teeth. That was one of the central pillars of the Weston A. Price and Ramiel Nagel diet is this raw milk, unpasteurised milk, which is most parts of the world very difficult to access, and we have it grown right here in town.
Yeah, there's lots of legalities around it, for better or worse. It is difficult, and even in New Zealand there have been people have kind of martyred themselves on the cause of trying to provide pasteurised milk, but it does appear to be possible to do it legally. Clearly Dreamview's doing it, if you follow all the steps. It's definitely better than anything else. Does it being organic on a farm make much difference?
It's part of a general supporting the system.
Yeah.
So the more burdened your system is with those kind of unhelpful chemicals and toxins and so on, antibiotics, all the things that we know go into non-organic food production, and it accumulates in your body and it inhibits the body's ability to do regenerative functions like remineralizing teeth and regrowing gums.
So you can't just straight out eat lots of butter. drinking the raw milk would be good. Yeah, products with butter in them are good.
Yeah. And, you know, eating lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, organic if possible, in season, local, all of those things create an environment in your body that really supports healing. But it's that the key missing ingredient for a lot of people with their teeth is a nutrient called vitamin K2, which is only found in the organ meats of animals and unpasteurized dairy.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's a difficult challenge for some people to accept as being healthy eating. But if you've got familiarity with Western A. Price, you'll be on board with that.
Yeah, is it Nourishing Traditions? Is that the book written on the basis of, by Sally Fallon, on the basis of Western A. Price? Do you have advice for vegans who obviously aren't going to be eating that?
Yeah, so I do work with quite a few vegans in my coaching practice. And I mean, there are kind of some supplements and some herbs and things that you can do, but really I think I always say that the animal products are like a shortcut to being able to heal your teeth and gums. It may be possible to get to the same destination, but it's the long way round. It's a much more arduous journey. And that's where you really need to put the effort in with the other influences on your teeth. So working with the emotional and energetic stuff is even more important for people who are on a restricted diet. You know, really being attentive to your oral hygiene, working with the jaw, keeping the jaw relaxed and activated, having good oral posture, not breathing through your mouth, all of those things. You've got to manage a whole lot of different things more carefully if you're not eating the animal products that are so good for
you. So you don't have to tick all the boxes, but a lot of the boxes. The mouth breathing thing is, we really haven't got any time to talk about this, but briefly, what's the deal there?
When you breathe through your mouth, you are the in-breath is feeding the unhelpful bacteria, that particularly at night time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which it's hard to know. I guess your partner can tell you.
Yeah.
How do you stop doing that, given that you're asleep?
Yeah, so mouth taping is a sort of...
Oh, wow.
A way.
If you want to get serious.
If you want to get serious, you can do mouth taping.
Yeah.
But the most reliable and natural way, I think, to stop mouth breathing in your sleep is to practice not mouth breathing while you're awake. Because if you are working those muscles that keep your jaw closed while you're conscious, then you're much more likely to keep your mouth closed at night.
Okay, and then I suppose some people might say, well, my nose is always slightly blocked. Or
well, this is the thing. If you have good oral posture and keep the tongue on the roof of your mouth, that puts pressure on the sinuses from below, that opens up your nasal passages and you can breathe more easily.
Okay.
Try it now. Push the tongue against the roof of your mouth. Keep your lips closed. Push the tongue against the roof of your mouth and breathe in through your nose.
This is not very exciting radio. I'm not making any noise.
Hopefully the listeners at home are trying it too. Everyone's focusing on their breathing right now.
You guys
now.
Try that. I get triggered by silence on the radio. It's really funny. You watch me in here, even when I'm not on the air, and if things go quiet, I'm looking around like, what's gone wrong? So that's a problem for me right now. But yeah, the listeners can benefit from that. Okay, so look, folks, we've been talking to Melias Sims, author of the book The Secret Lives of Teeth. You have a website. If people want to check out and follow this up some more, what's
HolisticToothFairy.com. That's holistic with an H.
Yeah.
All one word, HolisticToothFairy.com.
And people can buy the book there?
You can buy the book there. You can also buy it here in Raglan at Zinnia and at Well Read Books.
Okay. And I know it's really funny how we met. We were all standing in the queue at the Indian Cultural Night, and Sarah Johnson was there as well. And a conversation just happened, as it does in queues like that. And Sarah is running the pop-up bookshop at the Old School this year, and she's like, oh, we must have your book in there. And I was like, oh, we should do an interview about your book. So, yeah, all three of us are standing right next to each other in the queue. So, yeah, I quite like that about our community. Things like that happen quite a bit.
Yeah, that was a good evening.
Yeah, it was. It was. Mm. All right, so that's the website. We've got the book. You must – is it – selling, you must have people overseas. You talk about people overseas being searched in. You must have a bit of an audience around the world.
Yeah, so most of my business is with people overseas. So I do all my coaching online.
Yeah.
And people find me through my website. And then I do one-on-one coaching over Zoom calls to help people overcome whatever their dental challenge is, and to, you know, and try and avoid unnecessary dental procedures, but also to have better experiences and outcomes with the dental procedures that they do need to have.
Yeah, yeah, that is a tricky. There's a lot. Yeah, we could talk for several hours and get into the whys and wherefores and all that, but yeah, we are out of time. So thank you for coming in.
And thank you very much.
Good luck with the book. I know it's very hard for New Zealand authors to make money from their books, but you have an overseas audience, so I wish you luck. Because if it goes well, then your next one is...
My next book's called The Empowered Dental Patient, and it's a book for people with dental anxiety.
Which we didn't even get into, yeah.
Maybe we can speak again.
Is there anyone who doesn't have some degree of dental anxiety?
There are some lucky folk, but not many.
I'd like to meet them. All right, thanks for coming in.